We also have a couple items of sort of very local news in that they're about the station. One is regarding our little family of co-hosts for this show, Speak Up Las Cruces. A year or two ago, we added two co-hosts. One, Daisy Maldonado, who was originally scheduled to co-host this morning, has taken a leave of absence from the station. She announced the other night that she is running for county commission seat, District 1. Bad news for us, but possibly good news for county government here. She announced it on Facebook, and of course it would not be fair to have her continue to co-host a news-related show.
Yeah, whoever her opponent would, yeah, we would have to provide that person equal time, and that's not going to happen. So
that would be impractical. Yep. We don't know yet. She will certainly face some opponent in the general election. The incumbent, Chris Jaljo Hernandez, is not running, apparently.
That's interesting.
At least
so that's two, because
Shannon walked away.
That's right.
Shannon walked away.
So they're going to give us Project Jupiter and walk away. Thanks a lot, guys.
You know, Shannon had planned that beforehand.
Yeah,
I know.
Fair enough. I would like to see somebody stand up to the voters and defend that decision.
I know. And I think that helped motivate Daisy to run. And I suspect, without having talked to Chris about it, my guess is that, you know, for Jaljo Hernandez as a commissioner, he's also, you know, he's also a citizen. He's also the owner of a restaurant, a co-owner of a restaurant. And it was probably just too much controversy. Yeah, well, I think so.
He doesn't want to stand up to the voters and defend it.
Yeah, or he just may not want 4 years of, I mean, he's somebody I didn't know well, but was mostly positive about.
It looks
about.
Like hit and run to me.
And then, you know, the other
Especially if we find out there's any kind of financial. And I don't have any inkling, but I'm suggesting, with no evidence at all, let me make that as clear as it can be. But it just smells bad.
Well, I have no...
There's so much money involved in this thing to push it through and then leave. It just smells bad.
I have no evidence as to any particular, other than Nathan taking $10K or more.
But we see the money flooding in.
I do have evidence that it was offered.
Okay,
You know, I won't talk about to whom.
I have no doubt that it's being offered all the time.
A public figure
That's how they
related
play.
To me that they offered money, and when they were told that the money they were offering was too much, they said, well, we know a lot of people we could spread it out among.
Bribes go a lot further here than they do in other parts of the country.
We won't say. And I am curious. I hope to meet with Nathan later this week and have a hard conversation.
Yeah.
But, I wonder if there's more money in his pocket than the 10,000 that people know about.
Sure.
And I'm sure that it was not solely money that persuaded him, but...
I'm sure of that, too.
Yeah.
Well, I believe all these things, people think they're doing the right thing. I don't think anybody got paid and said, okay, I'll do whatever you say.
I'll do this terrible thing because you gave me money.
I'm not alleging that.
I agree. And I think Nathan would say, well, yeah, I was an ardent environmentalist and still am in my heart. But now as, you know, having a significant position chair in the, of a significant committee in the House, I have to represent all the citizens and businesses and what have you.
And there's some truth to
in the state. Yeah, there is some truth to it. But I'm still not too happy.
Well, like I said, somebody's got to run for re-election. Yep. I'm sure somebody will.
I think Nathan will, and I think...
Nathan will, but he didn't take the vote. A county commissioner, let me be clear. You know, Nathan greased the skids. But the people directly responsible are the county commissioners, in my opinion.
I think some of the other House members might blame Nathan a little more.
Oh, he greased the skids.
Yeah. And
was whoever did it well. Sneakily.
Well,
they did it
well.
Sneakily. Well, yeah.
I mean, they're now...
Both those things go together, unfortunately.
There's now something... I'm forgetting the name of the entity, but somebody told me it's actually a state entity, keeps advertising on the websites I go to.
For Project Jupiter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you start with this thing about New Mexico,
yeah,
how wonderful,
that's what I'm saying.
You know, New Mexico is, and it's going to be even greater, and then it turns out to be,
yeah,
if we...
They are dumping a ton of advertising
money. If
we
suck it up and take this ugly project.
And so
project.
You know they're spending money lobbying, quote unquote.
Yep. Well, like, you know, county commissioners were also cited at a fancy restaurant with Jupiter people.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I guess I wasn't there, so I can't say who paid the check.
Oh, we know who paid the check. Come on.
But, yeah, I would make it. I'd sure make a quick guess on that one.
Yeah.
And it's sad because those are all people that, you know, I felt generally positive toward.
Right. Me too.
And, you know, Shannon, I consider a friend, but boy, I didn't care for that.
And really, really have not stood up and made the argument. We did this. This is why we did this. This is why we think we're right. This is, I mean.
Oh, I think they did to some degree here on the show once. But
seemed like they were on the defensive more than.
To some degree, yes.
You know. Well, and maybe that's just the reaction, and that's.
But no, their claim, and we have another guest who, you know, is not on their payroll, Chris Erickson, who thinks it's going to be good economically.
True. That's true.
You know, and it's a reasonable position that just has a lot of holes in it.
Listen, they're spending more billions of dollars than. Crazy billions of dollars. I mean, the state budget is 11. Well, they're spending, what, 160, something like that?
They also keep, you know, their claim as to how many jobs it's going to produce keeps rising.
Yeah, right.
It's not like, you know, you put a great restaurant or a grocery store in your shopping center and it's an anchor tenant and draws a lot more.
Opposite.
Nobody's going to want to locate close to this thing.
It's the opposite.
It's not going to bring businesses because it's not going to need a lot of service from businesses. It's not going to have a lot of people working at it. And it, by the very nature of AI and all the internet sort of stuff, most of what it may be giving to people or getting from companies or whatever it is will be virtual.
Yeah, all that's true.
So how's it a great thing for a community when it's going to be incredibly noisy, use more gas than the whole state does, and maybe suck up water? They have a plausible explanation of why it won't suck up that much water, but we'll see.
No, I understand. I agree. I mean,
we also wanted to mention our survey.
Yeah, we did.
So if we've just bored you to tears, you should definitely go to our website, and I think you can take the survey there. But we're finally doing a sort of survey of.
So in other words, you're telling people if you really dislike what you're hearing now, please go take a survey and tell us how well we're doing. Yeah, okay.
Well, so far a high percentage of the survey respondents are. You know, like what they're hearing, but maybe not on our show.
But you have to go to our website, lccommunityradio.org, and it is right there on our homepage. It won't take you that long to fill out. And we really do. We hear from people all the time, you know, saying, what are your most popular shows? What are you?
Yeah.
Asking us questions that we just have no way of answering. And this won't give us definitive answers in terms of how many people are listening at any particular time.
But it'll help. Learn what people would like more of or less of.
That's the big thing.
Sort of how they regard the station and who they are.
And it's community radio.
And it's confidential.
So we really do want to be responsive is the word I'm looking for, to what the community wants. And the only way we can know that is if you help us out by going lccommunityradio.org and taking a few minutes to fill out the survey. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, and we'll listen to you. We'll you know, make those changes where we can.
Yes. We're also looking. We're already looking at what comes in and talking about it. And so please do.
Yeah, that's right.
Want to talk a little. We'll get to the war in a moment, but talk a little about the upcoming midterms and the elections yesterday. Mr. Trump's desperation to get the Save America Act passed.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No, it's not. The majority leader in the Senate told him there aren't the votes, but he's still shouting, "We got to pass this thing."
Sure, that's all he knows.
And he's
how to
not
do.
Even trying to pretend anymore that it's for the country and it's about keeping aliens from voting.
No, no,
it's about he says it'll guarantee the midterm.
That refreshing. I don't know what the right word is, but that is one thing about Trump is he understands he's not running for re-election again. We talked about this last week. I think he's reconciled himself to that. And he doesn't care how popular he is. He really, really doesn't.
He cares a whole lot about the midterms. I mean, the Save America Act was an effort to federalize the election.
But only because he knows that he's going to get impeached and he's going to have all kinds of investigations. Yeah. And he's right.
It's not for policy. It's for his skin.
Right. And he's not wrong about any of that.
But the Save America Act, I wouldn't be able to register to vote because my passport's out of date and New Mexico driver's license wouldn't do it.
Oh, you don't have a real ID?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I never got that one.
Yeah, okay.
Haven't flown for years.
Right, right.
Yeah, maybe I'll try to get that. I am going to renew the passport.
But you, it's a fair point. There are an awful lot of people who, as we sit here today, would not be able to vote.
Yeah, a lot of women, particularly, who changed their names when they got married.
And that's my thing about ID. I've said all along, I mean, once Jimmy Carter, years and years ago, did this, voting a report on how do we make voting better, not just in the United States, around the world. One of the things they had was voter ID. And I don't have a problem with voter ID as long as the government pays all of the expenses. And
right.
I mean all of the expenses to ensure that everybody who qualifies for a card gets a card. If they're willing to do that, then I got no problem with it.
Yeah, it takes something extra from people that some people just don't have the time or.
Yeah, I don't buy that. Yeah. I don't buy that. It's enough of a responsibility that if you take it seriously, there were black people in the South who went to tremendous lengths to be able to vote.
I know. I was there helping some of them.
To say that, it's an inconvenience for me to take the time to do, I'm sorry, I don't buy that.
I knew a gentleman who spent 2 years living in the swamps because he had tried to register.
Right.
John McFerrin.
That's my point.
In Fayette County. And he spent 2 years living in the swamps, hiding for his life.
We have made it incredibly easy for people to vote, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, I remember when I first started voting, you had to go to your precinct. You had to go on election day. I don't think there was early voting back then at the very beginning. And so there are a lot of ways that we have made it easier to vote, and that's a good thing.
But let me ask you, you want people to have to go get an extra card. There's absolutely no evidence that people are fraudulently voting.
I don't know if that's true. There's very,
I mean, so far,
very
there's no
scant evidence that illegal immigrants are fraudulently voting. But if you're talking about the population as a whole, I don't know if I agree with that.
It's certainly, I mean, it's a crime that can get you seriously penalized, and we're not seeing it. What we're seeing more is office holders playing around with the ballots.
Well, we're seeing a lot of vote harvesting, and in terms of individual people risking getting arrested to go in and vote, we'll never know. I mean, we'll never know is the truth, because there's no way to check that.
Yeah, I'm doubting. I mean, I go vote every time.
I guess
but
my
I,
point is,
I'm
I don't
doubting
think it's,
that people who
the argument
aren't registered.
The argument that you need to use an ID to do fill in the blank, any myriad of things. To say that you need to use one to vote, I don't think that's beyond the pale. I really don't.
Well, show them your driver's license. That's what you use when you're using your credit card at the grocery.
Well, and your driver's license will work as long as it's a real ID. And for most people, it is, I would guess.
I don't know. I don't think mine is.
Well, anyway. Unless you went and did it, it's not. No. Yeah.
I want to talk a little about the election results. Yeah. I know you downplay.
Yeah, I don't care, but go ahead.
How significant they are. But they're interesting. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene's successor, they had an interesting primary there. The Democrat came in first, but that's because there were about 17 Republicans and 16 Republicans and three or four Democrats.
No.
Three?
Were there three Democrats?
Yeah. Her and Sean Harris and at least one or two
others.
Okay,
so there's 17 total, I guess, is
but
my point.
Clearly, the Republican vote was split.
Right.
So her percentage was marginally better than she did running against Marjorie
right.
2 years ago.
Right.
But not significantly. And I don't know how it's going to play out. I've thought about it. And you wonder whether... And I think the Republican will win.
By 30 points. By 20 points. What did Marjorie Taylor win? 27, something like that?
Because the, what's her name, Harris got 35%, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So, yeah, it was a big win. I'll bet you it's not that big. But I can see it two ways. You know, there's so many people. There was the Trump-endorsed guy, Clayton Fuller.
Right.
And... he came in second, close to Sean Harris. Were all the other people, Republicans who will vote for him, or Republicans who are tired of Trump and didn't vote for him and they'll vote for her?
Understand? They will vote against the Democrat, no matter who the Republican is.
I think that'll happen, but a lot less. Up at the margins, a lot closer this year.
It'll be a little closer, but who cares? So we lost the football game by 15 points instead of 18. Who cares?
Trump, by the way, is in northern Kentucky today because he wants to unseat Thomas Massie, the Republican who's been his biggest.
Sure.
Yeah. And so he's there promoting a challenger. But that'll be very interesting to see. Excuse me. How a very red state, very red district.
I think Massey's toast. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been following it at all. But, Trump is still has, 85% solidly?
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Maybe mine's wishful thinking.
Yeah. We got 10 minutes. Are we going to talk about the war?
Sure.
I mean, we are at war. I all due respect to the special election in Georgia, but you know,
well, I got to mention one other special election.
Okay,
because there are people from New Hampshire staying at my house today, and Wolfboro is an important place to them, and the state house election. This woman had tried twice to beat the Republican. And he moved out of state and wasn't there this year. And she lost by like 17 points last time. And she beat the Republican by 52-48 last night in this district that includes Wolfboro. And people tell me that New Hampshire is actually not like New Mexico or Texas.
Oh, of course not.
There can be a whole swing of thought, like a majority, big majority.
You are reading a lot into these little special off-year elections that nobody knows about. Nobody's heard about that. It's
in New Hampshire is a big thing.
In New Hampshire,
the Republicans outspent this woman. By 4 or 5 times. The union leader called it a stunning upset.
The union leader. Okay.
Okay. All right. I had to get New Hampshire.
Anything going on in, Burlington? Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so there's a war on.
There is a war. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Seven people are dead. 7 American soldiers are dead.
A lot of other people are dead.
A lot of other people are dead.
Girls' scores
of people are dead. Yep. 7 American soldiers and scores of people.
And there's zero justification.
None.
Or
strategy.
No.
Or understanding. We broke it. And Trump thinks that all you have to do is break it and then it's yours. And that worked in Venezuela. That is not working here. And he doesn't have a shade of a clue of an exit strategy.
Ironically, what he accomplished was the younger Khamenei, the son, who'd been his father's sort of aide-de-camp and assistant. The last couple of years, the father had been saying, you know, I don't think my son should succeed me, because when we came in 79, we said no more Shah, no more hereditary monarchy.
That's exactly right.
And I love my son, and he's doing great work, but I think it ought to be somebody else.
Not only that, he was not approved by the clerics.
And now he has been.
Thanks
to Donald.
I don't know if he has or not. I think he was a political appointment. I don't think the clerics ever voted and endorsed that.
Well, there's
my understanding.
There's a group of about, I think it's 88 clerics that vote on the successor, and they voted.
Did they?
I thought,
okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's right. But the bigger point, though.
And he's a cleric and a hardliner.
The bigger point, though, is that Iran is going to do the same thing that the Taliban did. It's going to do the same thing that all of these Middle East. We view war in the Middle East as a short-term proposition. They view war as a centuries-long proposition. And so now Iran is in the position that all they have to do is survive.
Yep.
They have to do little pinprick attacks everywhere they can. They need to send out sleeper cells all over the Middle East and all over the world if they can. They need to be as destructive as they can possibly be, and they need to survive. And as they survive, they will be enriching uranium, and they will be working feverishly towards a bomb, because that is their...
I would if I were they.
Of course they are. It's existential now.
They also realize...
Their survival... They have a fool on the other side of the world saying, we're demanding unconditional surrender to a country that has been at war for centuries. They are not going to unconditionally surrender to anybody.
Well, particularly, they're very well aware that Donnie is obsessed. He's got to win the midterms. And high gas prices, further inflation, people dying, even his, you talk about the support he has, and he still does have great support in, the MAGA people. And I'll bet one of our guests in a moment, we'll talk to him, we'll see how he feels about it. But a lot of the MAGA people are like...
80%.
A lot of them now are saying, wait a minute, part of why we support the guy is, no more stupid wars in faraway places.
Some of them
America
are saying that.
America first.
Some of them are saying that. But I don't think he cares. I don't think he understands. I think he honestly believed that he could treat them the same way he treated Venezuela. I think of Fernando Valenzuela.
Oh, he doesn't understand the difference between Iran and Venezuela? Right.
Yes. That he doesn't understand that in that part of the world, war is just a way of life.
He understands very little about most anything.
We have been led into a war by another country. I mean, Marco Rubio came out and said it, flat out said it. And so now do we get to decide when we are done?
Pete Hegseth says it'll be a joint decision.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So, no, we don't.
There you go. So our sons and daughters, and let's be honest, he cannot do what he laid out that he wanted to do, which is end for all time Iran's nuclear weapon capacity. You can't do that without boots on the ground. You have to send in troops. You have to take over those facilities. You have to remove the material. You can't do that from the sky. You can't bomb your way to that result.
People forget that we had a contract, we had an agreement, a treaty with Iran, and there were some of the most intrusive inspections ever. And the authorities, neutral authorities, all said it was working, that they had stopped working on that. And Mr. Trump didn't like it. So he, I fear he has an obsession with his predecessor, Barack Obama.
And no question.
It's like a dog following another dog, and you got to mark your territory. And anything Obama got credit for doing, we got to undo it.
All of that is true. But the final point, we're down to our last minute, is we are in a situation now where he cannot accomplish his goals without escalating this war.
No.
And he can't escalate this war without losing. And so he's stuck.
I think he's going to find a, you know, he's going to claim victory and walk away.
I hope so. That would be the best result. But I'm afraid his pride won't let him. That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, it'll be interesting. We can bet a beer on that one.
We are, and I owe you a beer from Women's History Month. So.